Welcome to another weekend bonus episode of the Tech Meme Ride Home, the review edition, I guess. I'm Brian McCullough. As I mentioned, Google was generous enough to give me a phone and a watch to review when I covered the Pixel event last week. So, I mean, if they do something like that, then I kind of don't need to read other reviews to you. Having said that, I do realize that gadget reviewing is a skill that I haven't really exercised over my career, so I probably am not that great at it. If you want to look in the show notes, I hope to remember to link to reviews from The Verge of both things we're about to talk about. A caveat I want to give up top is, obviously, I'm someone coming from the Apple ecosystem. I do like to get my hands on an Android phone every couple of years just so that I can be conversant with things on the other side of the Great Divide. But you should clearly understand I'm coming at this from an iOS and iPhone user's perspective, which is why, after I give you my review, the second half of this episode will be me talking to a regular Android user to sort of square the perspectives. First up for the reviews, let's do the phone, the Pixel 8 Pro. I picked the Pro when Google offered me the option because this is the phone that they say will eventually be able to run their AI models natively on device. So I wanted to have that option to test that out in the future whenever they make it possible. Here's another caveat, though. I've never been a big phone guy. By big phone, I mean like the larger phones. I've never gone for the iPhone Maxes, which is why I was surprised by how much I like the size of the Pixel 8 Pro. In the hand, it's actually noticeably lighter than my iPhone 14 Pro, not 14 Pro Max, the smaller, bigger phone. I've not felt the new supposedly lighter iPhone Max 15s as comparison with, what is it, titanium that they have. But the Pixel 8 Pro feels so good in my hand, it's almost making me think about maybe I should get the bigger phone the next time I upgrade my iPhone. Obviously, the advantage of the bigger phone is all about having that additional screen real estate, and if a big phone is big but not heavy, I'd be willing to jump at that additional screen size. It also wasn't as overweening in my pockets. I always see people putting their big phones in their back pockets, which I never want to do, though I have not been wearing jeans as much yet this autumn. I've switched over to those Lululemon slacks that everybody raves about now. Wonder if that has something to do with it not seeming so huge in my pocket. I might have to force myself to try jeans pockets for a few days to be sure. Speaking of the screen real estate, it's huge on the Pixel 8 Pro. It's gorgeous. It's also bright as all get out. Yes, you can use it in direct sunlight, though you have to, of course, force the brightness in settings if you want it. Also, if you want that 120 hertz maximum refresh rate on the screen, you gotta enable that in settings too. Little pro tip from me. Another caveat, I haven't had a Pixel phone since before the pandemic, so I missed out on all of the recent experiments with curved displays. This is gone on the Pixel 8 lineup. It's a completely flat screen, which I hear is a good thing. Might also be why it's nicer to hold in the hand. What's not nice is the aluminum on the frame. Chris Messina was with me at the AI conference this past week, and when I showed him the phone, he was like, "Why is it so scuffed up?" The aluminum gets nicks and scratches right away, along with fingerprints. Although apparently the 8 doesn't have this, so take that into consideration if you're trying to decide between the Pro and the regular 8. One big thing that I do love coming from the iPhone side, I love the Jordi LaForge-style camera bar on the back. Like, love it. It's so annoying on iPhones and iPads the way the Apple camera bump, the Mesa or whatever it is, makes it basically impossible to set the phone down in any sort of stable way if you want to, you know, type on it on a flat table or something. The Pixel camera bar gives you that, plus it also gives you a little ridge to rest your fingers on when you're holding the phone, which is surprisingly nice. One more hardware thing, it has a temperature sensor, which, you know, I don't know. And most reviewers seem to be like, I don't know. Like, okay, here's how hot your cup of coffee is, which, great, what am I supposed to do with that? They claim that eventually you'll be able to take a person's temperature with it, but until then, it's also not as cool as it could be, even as a gimmick, because you get like a one-shot attempt at temperature taking, almost like you're taking a photo, like snap and that's it. It would be cooler if it gave you a continuous temperature reading as you waved the thing around, like here's how hot your coffee is, here's the temperature of the table it's sitting on, and that book, and then here's your brother's arm, but no, it doesn't do that. Onto the software, by which I'm mainly going to talk about camera stuff. For example, Best Take is amazing, especially if you have kids. Taking a family portrait, one kid is always not smiling with all of their heart, as you know. But now you can take a burst of photos and pick the best smile and replace the one person that was blinking or whatever. It's not seamless. If you look too hard at a picture, you might not see the heads lining up with the necks exactly, but it's good enough that you'll probably use it. Magic Editor is amazing. You have to do this in Google Photos after you shoot, just like you do with Best Take. But let's say you take a photo of your kid jumping in the air. You can go in later and just with your finger, move that kid up, 6 feet so that it looks like they're taking off Superman style. That sounds gimmicky, but imagine you take a beautiful sunset photo and you love it. You want to frame it. You just wish that rando stranger hadn't walked into the frame. Well, you can take them out again, just with your finger. The AI fills in the background for you. I feel like this is going to be table stakes as a sort of feature that every smartphone camera system is going to need to have in the near future. And Audio Magic Eraser for video is something that should absolutely become table stakes because it's amazing. As you're taking video, the system is somehow able to separate various noises into various channels. So if I'm walking down 8th Avenue, there's loud traffic noises. The AI separates all of the noise in the video into channels so you can take out the certain noises that you don't want automatically. Here's an audio clip from a video I took on the loud streets of Brooklyn. See if you can hear the difference.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon that is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon that is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she.
And I didn't have to do any heavy lifting to edit that. I just went into the edit audio settings on the video. As for pictures in terms of quality, I mean, they're fine. I'm not technical enough to go into the differences, but from my non-professional eye, iPhone photos still look superior, but that could be recency bias, familiarity bias. About Android itself, I mean, it's pretty great. There's not really, at this point, a lot of muscle memory that you have to do or, you know, reconfigure your brain at this point to switch between OSs. They're not exactly the same, but everything's generally intuitively similar. The stuff that I really want to try out on this thing is the new Google Assistant with Bard, but that's not available yet. And that actually gets into something that we'll probably talk more about in the second half of this episode. To make Android really work for you, you probably got to go all in with the entire Google ecosystem, right? Google Photos, share all of your Gmails, the whole shebang. If I were to not do that, would I not see the way Bard potentially revolutionizes Assistant in the future? That's the whole thing with Android full stop, though. You got to give Google everything, all your stuff, all your data, or you're really not going to get all of the optimizations, all of the full, you know, magic that the Android system can do for you. Finally, I'll just touch on the watch because I didn't test it as much. So high level stuff here. Battery life on the watch was good, all day battery life, which is apparently something the Gen 1 Pixel Watch definitely lacked, apparently. I have a hell of a time getting the bands on and off, like 5 minutes of struggle every time. Now, Apple Watch's band release mechanism, it ain't great, but at least for me, the bands on the Pixel Watch are diabolical. I really like the rounded screen. It looks more like a watch should on your wrist. The screen is bright. Apps are useful. Though I do want to note it's really small looking on my watch, which again could be recency bias, but, you know, it kind of feels like a toy watch, especially if you're a man, if you're a larger man. And frankly, you know, smaller body types might actually enjoy that. Female users, they might be genuinely enthusiastic about not having a giant brick on your wrist. But the real reason I didn't get to test the watch more was that you need full Fitbit integration to get all the features. And that just got set up yesterday by Google, which actually brings up another interesting point. Know going into this, if you buy a Pixel Watch, you're only getting half the experience unless you sign up for the $10 a month Fitbit Premium or whatever subscription. I mean, people do that all the time with their Fitbits and Aura Rings, but coming from an Apple Watch where, unless I do Apple Fitness or something like that, I don't need to pay a monthly subscription. So again, factor that into your consideration of if you can afford or want to afford the Pixel Watch. There you go. A review of the Pixel experience from a non-Pixel user. If I were an Android user, Pixels are the only way I'd go because I hate what OEMs do with their weird, crufted versions of Android. I want the pure thing, baby. And as for the watch, I think I'll stick with the Apple Watch happily, but the Pixel seems to be inching closer to parity. Now, in the second half of this episode, let's talk about this more with someone from the other side of the Great Divide, a genuine Android user, my cousin Kev. With everybody fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I use this, and you should too. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee, so get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed credible doctors and specialists. I have personally used ZocDoc to find a podiatrist when I needed one for the first time ever in my life. Go to ZocDoc.com/techmeme and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/techmeme. ZocDoc.com/techmeme.
Cousin Kev, long time no talk. Well, not really. We talk online a lot, but...
Yeah.
Do you really listen all the time?
Yeah, I listen every day on the way home from work. So it's almost perfect. I live, it's about a 20-minute drive home. So it's
well, perfect. That works. Yeah. All right. Well, then the real question is, were you excited for the new Pixels? Did you order one?
I did. I pre-ordered right away. I was very excited. I had the 6 Pro. Up until this morning. So yeah, I had the Pixel 6 Pro. Prior to that, I had the Pixel 3A. Mm-hmm. Those were the first Pixels that I had.
Samsung or like what's your
yes
like yeah Android sort yeah. of experience?
So I had the Google G1. Which was the OG, the first Android phone. I did have that, got that right when it came out. You know, what's really funny is just a quick aside. My dad worked for T-Mobile at the time, and right. I told him, I said, "Dad, there's this new operating system coming out that for phones that Google's coming out with. I think it's going to be a big deal." I was like, "I really think this is going to be like the next thing," because the iPhone was out. At the time, right?
Right. Right. Because it the first Google phone came out, I'm remembering, like, let's say 6 to 8 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it had been talked about for a while. There was talks of the Google phone for a couple years before that.
Well, maybe. You know what? Maybe I got to go back and do research on that. But also, your dad worked at Motorola for years too, right?
Yeah, so, worked at Motorola for years and then, you know, fixing computers. That obviously wasn't that much of a thing anymore. So he transitioned to working on cell equipment. So he worked on cell equipment forever until he retired. But you know what it was? I remember what it was. So there was the Google phone, which was going to be a thing. It was Google had bought Android. There were some versions of it that were kind of floating around out there that I think people were playing with because, you know, it was all open source. But it wasn't supposed to be touch centric. Mm. And then the iPhone came out and then they quickly pivoted to make it more touch.
Okay, HTC Dream,
yes,
was T-Mobile. The T-Mobile G1 announced on September 23rd, 2008, and it was a slider that I'm looking at. Like, so it had like physical keys, sort of like a BlackBerry style.
You know what? I think I have it here.
Kevin's going to look for it right now.
I might. I don't want to look. I have a drawer here that's got a bunch of old phones, and I swear.
Yeah, we call it our museum of tech in my house. But okay. So you're so Android OG. You had the very first one.
I did. I had the first one, which was HTC. I think the next few that I had were HTC. And you know, I don't know if you remember, but those phones were rock solid. I mean, those things were made of metal. You couldn't break those things. I think I transitioned. My first Samsung was the Note 2. Mm. And then from there, I was Samsung until I got the Pixel 3a.
Okay.
And that was kind of the first. I was always a flagship phone guy. Yeah. It helped, again, my dad working for T-Mobile, we got the phones for, you know, almost nothing. So they had a very good deal at the time. So I was always, you know, had the flagship when it came out, but he retired. I had to buy my own phones, and that's when I got the 3A. That's when I went to a budget phone. and then from that to a, you know, to the 6 Pro. And now, as of about 6 hours ago, the 8 Pro.
You got it today. And you got the Pro too. Like that's the one, it's over here right now. So, have you got to play around with it at all? I'm waving.
I have. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the first couple of hours were just transitioning everything.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
You know, is always a pain.
All right. So let's do this. Let's do this first. Cause you read my review, which I haven't even, recorded yet, but I sent you, my script for it, but,
yes.
I fucking love the camera bar. I love the Jordi LaForge thing. Like, that's entirely useful. I love how light it is. I love, if I were in the Android ecosystem, I would only do Pixels. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're at these days? I mean, I've seen some sexy as hell Samsung things, but like where do you come down in terms of like in the Android ecosystem, what's the best phone for you?
You know, I would say now it's the Pixel. And there's a couple things with the camera bar that you mentioned that one, and you allude to this in your review. It, you know, you can set it down on the phone and it's or on the table and it doesn't have the wobble because it's symmetric, you know, the bar goes all across the top. Which is, you know, is one of those things that in the scheme of things, how much does it matter? But it's one of those annoyances that you get rid of. The other thing, it is that the placement of it's nice. It does kind of catch it's a place to kind of rest your finger a little bit, to give you a little bit better grip.
People have those cases where they have like the little thing on the, like the circular thing and that's to hold it. And like it's built into the phone there. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, and I think this is something that it probably was intentional, but you notice them. Like it's got the Apple, obviously, you see an iPhone And it's very, as soon as you see one, you know it's an iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as you see one of these, you know exactly mm-hmm. what it is. And you can see it from a mile away. It's so, it's so unique in it, in its view. You look at a Samsung, and you know, Samsung has 10 different models they release every year. But even then, you know, you got the you know, the Motorolas and you know, Asus's, and then you know, the Huawei's and mm-hmm. all of them, and they all look so similar that you know, when you see a Pixel now, you know what it is right away.
That's a good point. Did you have the previous ones that had the curved glass, where people were talking about like how that sucked, and like this feels so good in the hand, is what I said in the review.
It does. I actually, the first one I had that had the curved glass was the Samsung Galaxy 7, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Was the first one that had the curved glass, and I thought, yeah, at the time I loved it. It definitely has when bezels were so much bigger, mm-hmm. it
was easier,
so much nicer.
Yeah.
And it looked so much nicer because it made the screen look like it went edge to edge. In my experience, it made them so much easier to break though.
Yeah.
And so much harder to put like a real good screen protector on. You couldn't get, you eventually could, but for a while you couldn't get like a tempered glass screen protector. I love that they got rid of the curved screen. I learned to hate it. And so I was very happy when I heard that was going away.
Okay. So you're Pixel fam. You're also Pixel Watch fam. Is this your first Pixel Watch?
This is my first Pixel Watch. I've had Fitbits. And this one is replacing the Galaxy Watch 5, which I did like. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with it, but, you know, there's something to say for sticking with, you'll definitely appreciate this, for sticking with an ecosystem and having everything just kind of meant to, you know, built to work together.
So we're about to get into that. All right. Let me give you my history with phones, which is, you know, like, you know, literally going back to Nokias, then to the Motorola Razor, and I had because I couldn't bring myself to be a BlackBerry person, I actually had a BlackJack. I don't know if you knew that one. It was made by Windows or somebody, but it had a physical keyboard.
That
was the last phone I had before the iPhone. But okay, so and we'll get into you trying to convince me to come over to the Android side, but when Android came out, because I can remember going to San Francisco around that time when it came out, and you know, even me getting into podcasting was like listening to, before there was The Verge, was it Engadget that they were at, or Gizmodo? It was Engadget, right? So like Neelai and Josh Topolsky and all those folks, and that's what got me into podcasting, is listening to them talk about like the Android fragmentation of it.
Yeah,
right. Which again, as I said in the review, like if I were going to do Android, I'd only do Pixel for the pure Android, without all the cruft, without all the OEMs doing whatever they're going to do to it. But that's when I made that choice. I think I transitioned to a Mac at that point or whatever. But it was mainly like I was hearing that, like, yes, this Android thing is happening, and there's a million different players, and they're doing a million different things. And it's like, no, I want to do something that is simple. So did you have to endure that sort of, like, the Android could be crazy and unreliable because the OEMs were doing all sorts of stuff?
Absolutely. And I think that's a, you know, it's sort of a necessary evil in some sense, because if you think about iPhones, you know, if you want an iPhone, if you want to use iOS, you have to have an iPhone, and it's made by Apple, and you have, you know, a couple of choices. There's obviously benefits to that. They control the entire market. So, you know, they can dictate what releases come out and what hardware support it and all that.
Right. Because let me just for the listeners, let's say it's 2010, even 2012. Like if you buy a certain Android phone, it could, like, the next Android version, your OEM might not support it, or like you could be stuck on certain hardware devices. Yeah. And like, yeah,
you might not get it. You might not get the next, or if you get it, it might be 6 months or, right. you know, right. a year or, right. you know, and so, yeah, that was definitely, a headache. And, you know, companies like Samsung have always been pretty good about eventually coming out with the releases. I mean, obviously they've gotten much better. That is one of the reasons when I went to Pixel was because I knew I was going to get the update right away.
Well, and now you've got 7 years of updates, which did I even put that in the review? I need to add that.
I don't think you did, but
I need to. I need to. Yeah.
You know what? I'm never going to have a phone for 7 years.
No, you know us I mean? Normal folks. Well, no. I was going to say us geeks won't have a phone that long, but that makes a lot of sense for like the long tail of the market. Like,
well, and the other thing is, if you think about it, like handing a phone down to your kids, you know, like I've got, you know, my youngest is 11 and he's in middle school now. So we kind of had to get him a phone, because he gets home before we do on the bus. And that's a struggle. He's got my 3A, my Pixel 3A, but it's not technically supported anymore. Mm. So it's not getting updates. So, you know, so in that sense, yes, being able to pass the phone down to somebody who, you know, I don't care if they break it. That's great. But yeah, I'm never going to have, I would suffice to say most people are never going to have a phone for 7 years.
There is I think I've said this on the show. There is in the industry a sense that if the upgrade cycle was 2 to 3 years, it is moving down the chain to like three to four to five. So like, it's a smart move by Google. I don't know that this is something, but what we've said a million times on the show is at this point, phones aren't that different. So it could be a smart move where it's just like a tablet, like phones probably could be tablets at this point where you buy a tablet and you don't need another one for 5 to 10 years, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It definitely is. I mean, look, they also did it. They were getting pressure to do it for some time, too. You know, Samsung had, was it 4 or 5 years that they announced? Apple announced that they were going to support for 4 or 5 years. So it was... And it's obviously worked. They've gotten tons of positive reaction from announcing that they would support it for 7 years.
Right, because the iPhone 10 is the one that recently went off support for Apple. Yeah. So that's 5 years. So that's interesting comparison. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if nothing else from a marketing standpoint, it's genius to do. But yeah, you know, like I said, to be able to keep the phone as, even if you're keeping it as a spare or a backup or something like that, just being, knowing that it's still going to work and still will be supported is, you know, good. There's nothing that can't be bad. That's a great thing.
So let me, you've been with Pixel for a few years. Like, do you agree with the sentiment that I said in the review, which is if I ever go to the Android side, I'm only going to do Pixel? Is that, I mean, you know, look, Samsung makes some great stuff, but like, do you like that concept of it being pure Android? Is that a pull for you?
I want to correct you a little bit.
Okay.
When they move from, when they move to the Pixel line, it's not pure Android anymore.
Why not? It's,
they have their own skin on it. So, you know, pure Android is, what do they call it? AOSP. It's like the Android open source project. It's not that anymore. Well, look at it. How many
I mean, shit, Kev, like you're so, this is why you're on. You're so deeper in the weeds that I had no idea that's true.
And how many things are Pixel exclusive, right? So if it's Pixel exclusive, it's not, then it can't be pure Android.
Oh, I get
it. They did that when they went to the Pixel line. When they came off Nexus, the Nexus phones were pure. Now it's the closest to pure that you're going to get. They definitely, the skin that's on it is very minimal. The launcher is, they call it Pixel Launcher. So it has its own launcher, which is basically the skin of it.
Is that related to the fact that it's the Tensor chips in there? Is like that?
No, they did that before. So when they came out with the Pixel, you know, the Pixel 1, which the Tensor chip wasn't until the 6, that's when they moved from the Nexus line, which is what they used to call their line, to the Pixel line. That's when they started to try to do a differentiation on them. Now, again, it's the closest to, and it's the one that's always going to get the upgrade right away. And, you know, so in that sense, yes, I personally think that now that their phones are more flagship level, that it seems stupid to go with anything else, with any other manufacturer. Now, you know, if you want a stylus with it, then you're
going to go. Or a foldable, yeah.
Well, they've got the Pixel Fold.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but if you want a stylus or you want, you know, some other type of form factor, you know, the flip, the Samsung has the flip foldable instead of like the Z foldable. But so there are reasons to go with something else. But in my mind, I'm going to stick with Pixels for the time being.
All right, let's get to the real meat of this here.
Why
do you hate Apple? It's like, why? When did you stop beating your wife? Why do you hate Apple or iOS? Like,
all right. So very quickly, I'm in IT. I've been in IT for a while. You know, been a system administrator for a while. I'm a director of IT now. But I say that because I like to be able to customize things the way that I want it to. I want to make, you know, I want to be able to play with it. If I want to be able to do something, I want to know that there's 10 different ways that I can do it. With that does come some complexity. So I will straight out say that Android is not for everybody. You know, I have two brothers who are not really tech savvy at all. They have iPhones and I tell them, no, just stick with it. It works. Like it's simple. But for me, I like to be able to have options and, you know, Apple doesn't really give you a lot of options.
When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months, or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO five-pocket pants, the right sort of step up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants, like literally my ideal Venn diagram of professional looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable, they don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off.
Okay, let me stop right there, because you know, when you and I were growing up, you know, I was a PC kid. And I was a PC kid because on DOS you could do crazy shit like download or get pirated, not download because there was no downloading in 1988, but you could get pirated copies of various games that you wanted to play. Like that was always the thing, is like you would go into Babbage's and there would be a whole wall of PC games and there would be a tiny little corner of Mac games. But also it was like I learned to command line do stuff on DOS machines and then eventually Windows machines or whatever. In this current environment, when you say what you just said, which is you want to control your stuff, I get you that Apple locks stuff down, and I'm gonna counter argument this later, but is that really functionally true? Like, what can you do with your Android that I can't do with my iPhone that I would want to do?
Put icons in a folder on your home screen.
But having widgets that can actually but that's them limiting what I can do. It's almost like I'm talking about almost like the 1980s version of this, which is I don't really want to sideload stuff. Like what would I? Oh wait, you're saying what would you want to do? What would you want to? You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're almost saying it in an 80s kid sort of way, like, I prefer Android because I can hack it. But what are you hacking your phone to do?
You know, I always rooted my phone. That was always the first thing I did when I got it, which is, you know, hacking the emulator so you can put its own, I always had a different ROM on there. I always did that. I haven't done that in forever, quite frankly, because I don't have time to anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I've got kids that keep me busy. So, but it's just, it's the, I guess what I don't like, or what I, the way that I look at Apple is that for me, I don't want to be told so much what I can and can't do with my device.
Yeah.
And look, yes, there are definitely things that I can't do with it now, but there's a whole lot more that I could do with an Android phone than I could do with an iPhone. I could very easily sideload apps. I don't have to root it to be able to sideload apps.
I want you to understand that I'm philosophically with you in so many ways in my life, in the sense that, like, even when I came back from San Francisco last night, like, I went and got a cab instead of calling an Uber. Like, I don't like, I'm not a joiner. I'm not a, like, go with what everybody uses. So, like, I get it. And as we said, as a kid, I was a PC kid, not a Mac kid. But let's say it was, I don't know, 2005 that I went over to the Apple ecosystem. So that was before the iPhone. And then I just, and this is getting into the whole, not just iOS versus Android, but like Apple versus whatever, right?
Yeah.
When I moved over to the Apple ecosystem, I've never felt even a twinge of regret. Like all the stuff just works, and we'll get into later, like lock-in in ecosystems and things like that. But like, as much as I've seen sexy ass phones, and believe me, I am susceptible to sexy gadgets, right? And I have a Samsung laptop here that's a Windows laptop. Like, I love great gadgets, right?
Yeah. But
there's nothing that has ever really been enough to be like, you know, maybe I should cheat. Have you used you've obviously used Macs and iPhones. You've encountered them.
I mean, in my career, personally, no, but yes, plenty of times where I, you know, had to manage.
Okay, so I didn't actually frame a question there, so let me try to do that.
All right.
What is the thing that I'm missing by being in this Mac iOS ecosystem that you're like, Brian, you're a tech guy, you're missing out on this whole world that you could be having over here?
Let me put it this way. and this is as much a compliment to Apple as anything else. But with Android devices, you have multiple manufacturers, multiple companies that are competing, right?
True.
So you know, Google is competing with Samsung, is competing with Motorola, is competing with Asus, is competing with Huawei. You know, so they have to better each other.
Good point.
Now, and you know, this is the joke I always make to you whenever they have a thing like, oh, Android's had that for 5 years or whatever. But this is what Apple does. Apple waits. There's new technology. There's a new feature, gadget, whatever that's out, and Apple waits until it's perfected, and then they release it. And that's great. I mean, there's something to say to that. But you know, that means that I get to play with it 2 or 3 years before you. You know what I mean? And it may not be perfect. It may be buggy. It may not be great. It may be, you know, it may be a little bit too early. But I like that's the fun that I get.
Because I say on the show all the time, I don't like just the slab of glass. I want experimentation with these gadgets. I love that stuff. But there was a review, it might have been from The Verge or somebody, for the Pixel, where they were talking about the whole Android ecosystem thing. And they're like, that's what's great. It's almost what you just said. That's what's great about Android is that all of these OEMs, it's the Jurassic Park thing, like, is they should have done it, or what's the phrase?
Something like, just because they could doesn't mean they should.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. So every OEM, every cycle, does 3 or 4 things where it's like, yeah, that's a crazy idea. Like this stupid temperature sensor on this thing, right? and it's like, I appreciate that, but then as somebody that, I'm almost contradicting myself, because I want experimentation, I want foldable phones, I want different form factors, but it is, what you just said was that Apple does it 3 years or 5 years later once it's been proven. They don't do crazy shit, they don't experiment, mm-hmm. and there's a comfort in that to certain people.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, that's for some people, that's perfect, and that's great. You know that, I will say that for the most part, you know that if you buy an Apple product, it's going to just work. Like, it's going to do, everything is going to work. It's going to work well. You know, obviously there's exceptions. The whole, you're holding your phone wrong thing from Antenna Gate is just still drives me crazy. But you know what I mean? Like, for the most part, the features that they come out with are going to work, and they're going to work well. But what are you missing out on? I mean, have you played with this Magic Editor? That's incredible. That is amazing, the things that you can do with that. And it's not perfect. I mean, I can zoom in, I can see mm-hmm. where things, you know, but just looking at it on the screen, it's unreal what you can do with it. And you know, you talk about the and I don't even remember what they're calling it, the best shot or best take. Like, there's real use cases for that. It's not just that it's neat. Like, with kids, I will use that all the time.
I am with you in the sense that in a marketplace, that's where innovation happens, because people have to come up with crazy shit and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. And so, right, if it was only iOS, you wouldn't get that. You'd only have innovation from like Chinese OEMs or something like that. I do get that. So I said in the review, like, the Magic Eraser, but more the Magic Sound for the video. I can't remember. Again, I don't.
Magic Eraser. Yeah.
Audio Magic Eraser. Like, that's going to be table stakes. So again, what you're going to say next year or 2 years from now is like, yeah, that was on the Pixel 2 years ago, and that's fine. But like, number one, I'm saying I love that Android exists because I want these innovations to happen. That's how the free market works. That's how a marketplace works, is that you have competition, and so you have to one up the competition. But there's never been anything in, what did we say, Android, the first Android phone was 2008. There's not been anything in that time that was like, oh, I got to go over there. because that's so different, except for the foldable stuff. And I'm sure Apple will do a foldable in 2025, but I'd really love a foldable. But there's just been nothing that's big enough to make me go over there.
Well, is that because you haven't experienced it, though? Magic Editor and Audio Magic Eraser are new with the 8 Pro.
Okay.
Magic Eraser came out with the 6, and that is and that's basically the ability just to remove something from a picture. I have used that all the time.
Really?
For 2 years. I have used that so much to take take people out of backgrounds, or if you take a picture and there's like a light post that just looks out of, or light post is fine, but if it's like a power lines or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like one of the examples in the reviews was like you take a picture of your two kids against a fence and they're this far apart, and then you can just with your finger move them close together and it looks
And that's what you could do now. But for the last couple of years, they've had where you could just take, if there was a someone in the background,
some crazy lady in the background, get her out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
So like that, I couldn't give that up. Now, actually,
we should say again, for people that are coming from iOS, like this is not like you have to go in and do Photoshop style stuff.
Oh, no.
It's literally you tap it, gone.
Yeah. Circle it with your finger. It's gone.
Yeah.
Here's the biggest thing that I could not do without right now. The one thing that is like I could not move to an iPhone, or in this case, really even something other than a Pixel, because I would lose my mind if I didn't have. And that's the call screening. Mm. The number of phone calls that I get, and it's just, everybody trying to sell something, I probably get 10, 15 calls a day from people trying to sell me something. My phone doesn't ring anymore. Or if it does, I get to look at it. And
the Google Assistant AI?
Yeah, I can read on the screen. So if it's not a number that I have in my contacts, the Google Assistant answers it, and it says, basically, hey, this person is using Google Assistant to screen this call. Please tell them, who you are and why you're calling. And I'll sit there and look at my phone, and it will put in text as they're speaking. So what it is, and I can either decide to answer it. This is something they're expanding on, which is one of these coming soon things, which it sucks, but that's a different story. But or I can say, I can press a button and the assistant will say, please remove this person
By the way, at the event, like they're talking about how like they're going to have Bard be the agent that will screen those calls for you, answer on behalf of Kevin and say, and then come back to Kevin and say, hey, this is what this call said. Do you want to whatever?
Yeah.
Let's come back to that for a second. I've had the ability on my Apple Watch, which apparently the Pixel Watch just gained. Like every time I get a call, it comes up on my watch and I can screen it and it says likely spam, and I can just go like that and it goes away.
Yeah.
I don't know if – is this your first time with a Pixel Watch?
It's my first time with a Pixel Watch.
Yeah.
The phone has – they've also done where it'll show likely spam. But I think I think that's more from the carrier side than really from the iOS or Android. The ability – or, because here's the thing. Just because it's a number I don't recognize doesn't mean it's not something important. So this way I can – it can tell me that, oh, hey, this is whatever from your, from your doctor confirming an appointment or something like that.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a bunch of caveats in the reviews that are not mine, which I'll hopefully remember to link to when I post this, where all the reviews talk about, there's a bunch of stuff that Google has promised that's going to come out in a couple months or something like that, where they're going to add Bard and make, like, the promise of the current Pixel lineup is that it's the promise of AI. What if a Bard or a Hey Google or an Alexa or a what if those were good? That's what they're promising, and that's why I got the Pro, is I want to be able to load the full LLM onto it or whatever. However, this is going to work. That's why I asked for that one. We could be talking about something right now where we could be reaching. Wait, was that? Did Google just do that?
You probably woke it up.
Yeah, yeah. So we might have to come back to this like in the spring or something, because maybe what Google promised in that event is going to be something that will be sort of transformational. So,
yeah, it really, you know, they're definitely setting it up for that. I absolutely hate that the whole announcing things that will come later. Like, to me, that's what the I/O conference, and that's what WWDC is for. Yeah. Like, that's where you can talk about things you're working on. If it's a hardware event, just talk about what exists. Like, you know, that's, but that's an aside.
Everybody's hustling right now to bring their stupid AI stuff to market.
Whenever I need to do financial research for this show, for instance, during tech earnings season, when I have to analyze how various companies' stocks have been performing, I only ever turn to our sponsor today, Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They are the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, their real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let me let's bring this sort of to a landing in the sense of make a pitch to me. You made a pitch to me that I should go to Android because I would have more control over my lifestyle. However, my counter argument is that would only work. And also, by the way, things like Bard and Google Assistant only work if I give Google everything. Now, I'm on Gmail for everything, okay?
Yep.
But I lie, like with Apple, I don't have to do that. Like I lie to Gmail about my home address, okay?
Yep.
And I lie to Apple about my home address. So like if in the future all of this is ecosystem lock-in, if Android works the best, you have to give yourself to Google. You have to bow down and you have to be like, I am going to run everything through you, which again, this is later the ecosystem lock-in. Like I would have to change a lot of things of my life.
Yeah.
I know that Apple being privacy focused is a lot of marketing hype, but at the same time, they do not make their money on ads.
I'm actually really glad you brought that up. I want to make a couple of points with that.
Great.
One, if you don't think that Apple is collecting all of the same data on you.
They're collecting it, but as far as I know, they're not yet monetizing it to a huge
degree. Yeah, they're not monetizing it. They're not sharing it. And that's their whole privacy thing means we're not going to let other people collect your information. We're just going to do it ourselves. And if you think that they're not going to use that, you've been talking the last few days about them potentially or sometime in the future,
doing
maybe
having
their own search engine. Yeah. Of course, that's where they're going to get their data from. So here's my thought on it. Everybody, all of those companies are collecting every single data point on you that they can. I would almost say that maybe Google's being more upfront about it. You could possibly go that angle. But here's the thing. If let's not be naive. Google knows everything about all of us, right? And that's where they're making their money. If they're gonna know everything about me, not that I'm okay with it, but I want it to work in my advantage, at least. Like, I want to reap the benefits of that too. Mm-hmm. And if Bard, which the stuff that they're promising that'll come soon, Bard will almost be my personal assistant because it knows my emails, it knows my schedule, it knows where I was. Like, that's, if you're going to know that information already, then give me the benefit.
The Google's ahead of the game because Google would have more of that information. Like, Apple does not have all of my 8 email addresses. Apple does not have, like, I still use Google Maps. Like, so, like, I even think I was converted to that 5 or 6 years ago, where it's like when Google first started to make the pitch of it'll be ambient computing, it'll be computing in the background. I get that, and you know what, you're right, that's a very convincing argument to me, because like, in the end, what are we talking about? Like, eventually our cars are going to be, you know, data collection things. Like, Amazon's putting everything in our house. Like, if Kellogg's, the bottom line is once everything went digital, it's impossible not to know what your customers do with the product. If Kellogg's could know when you emptied that box or how much milk you put into it, believe me, they would want that data, because everybody wants the data of how the product is used. And, so maybe, like I said on the show this week, like, maybe let's just make peace with the fact that there is IRL and online, it doesn't matter. It's all everything at this point.
I mean, you'd have to be completely off the grid to really not have this data collected on you. It's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying like we should all be okay with it and just give them free range. Like, no, there needs to be. It's ridiculous how much you said cars will eventually be data points. They are. They absolutely are.
If you have a Tesla, they know everything. And by the way, all of them, the Fords, the Rivians, all the new cars, like, they are literally data hogs. I think I've done that on the show too. Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, I'm not saying that we should be okay with it, but if it's going to happen, if it's inevitable, let me benefit from it as well.
And I think it is inevitable. This is not a political argument in the sense that, like, oh, I can't believe that this is the world we live in where it's a panopticon, but it's impossible. You know, my mom, she has that phrase that, like, that in the modern era, what it is it's impossible not to know anything. It's impossible not to know where my kid is right now. It's impossible not to know. Like, the whole planet Earth now is becoming a thing where it's impossible not to know. Eventually, you would want, when you know that the light outside my window has gone out, you would want the city to know that instantly so they could replace it. Like, the ability to know things is what the digital era is. So there's parts of me that are like, I grieve for the scarcity and like the anonymity and things like that, but also, like, how are you going to stop it, right? So I'm with you in the sense that Google is a better, they know, it's not just Gmail, they know my search history, they know who I am. And so they would be better suited to give me a future AI bot that knows Brian than Apple does right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, if I, there was during the keynote, they talked about one of the things, and again, this is one of those coming later things, but it was the example that they used was, on the Google Watch, the Pixel Watch with the Fitbit integration, if you had a run and your time was lower than your average.
Right.
And you could ask it.
Yes.
Why was my time lower? And it can reference, well, you know, you haven't been sleeping very good lately.
Or yeah,
been
yeah, yeah.
Like, look, the fact that they know all that, is it scary? Absolutely. But if you can give that back to me in a way that's beneficial to me, like, yeah, absolutely.
Last philosophical question. It's not even philosophical, but this is like the lock-in thing. So, like, the reason I can't at this point without a lot of pain go to Android is because like my kids have iPads, you know, and like if I was a single person or without kids or whatever, like my whole household and then my, you know, my work and things like that are on Macs. Do your kids have tablets and phones and things like that?
Yeah, they've got Android tablets and Android phones. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you're locked in. Absolutely. And I'm locked in.
And I think I realized that for the first time, or really realized that for the first time a few months ago. And I told you this when we first started talking about doing this. I think for the first time ever, the iPhone 15 Max Pro was, I looked at that with, you know, with some stars in my eyes a little bit for the first time ever. I was like, wow, this thing looks nice. And some of the camera functionality was great. And for a brief second, I was a little bit envious, but then I realized like I couldn't, because, you know, I'd have to get an Apple Watch, and I'd have to get Apple TV, my kids would have to get iPhones, and yeah, exactly what you were saying. So I don't think it's as, maybe it's just me, but I didn't think it was as obvious. You know, there's definitely ecosystem lock in
I think if you have a family, that's when they've got you, because once you're committed to whatever device, again, you're saying you're handing down things to your children.
Yeah.
Like clothing, like that's when they have you, because in a way you could argue that like you could still for your work work in a PC environment, but exist in your family in a iOS environment.
Yeah.
But like
what it would take to transition?
Yeah.
I think that people are as locked in to the Android ecosystem as they could be with in the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, that's how it's always been, back to PC and in the earliest days it was like, you know, a Commodore 64 versus whatever, but okay. All right, Kev, I appreciate this. Do you want to shout anything out? How are the Bengals doing this year?
You know, it was a rough start. Their last week, they looked good, and we'll see if that continues. But I felt like, you know, for how many years that I've been a Bengals fan, it's, you know, we endured so much, and then we got this big glimpse of what it's like on the other side,
the promised land.
And for a few weeks I felt like that was being ripped back away from us, but I think we're gonna be all right. I'm cautiously optimistic at this point.
Well, I still have what was it, the 87 team, the Iggy Shuffle team?
Yeah, 87, 88.
Only because of you guys back there, my family back in the Cincy area. But I'm so far out of the NFL, I can't speak intelligently about anything. So don't worry about it. Kevin, thanks so much for doing this, because my review is clearly coming from a place of, hey, I'm a tourist in this Android ecosystem. So thanks for...
Well, and you know what? That might even be... That's great too, because you're not looking at it with a positive bias, so.
Or a fanboy. It's valuable to me to do it every few years, and I hadn't done it since the pandemic. I always do it every few years to like get a Android device and play with it, and I have the Windows laptops and things like that, so I try to dip my toe in just to know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but before too long, we're gonna have you on.
You're gonna convert me. Okay. I hope to see you soon in person. Thanks for doing this, Kev.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.